Our next guest we're waiting on is Nick Andrews. He's with Scentlock. What we're going to be talking about today with Nick is going to be something that, you know, if you've been hunting whitetails for very long, you've definitely been busted by their nose. I mean, their eyes and ears are fairly easy to fool, but their sense of smell is another story altogether. I mean, and that's probably one of the most frustrating parts of hunting whitetails is that, you know, it's you put all the time and effort into setting up your field, setting up your stands, and then it gets right to prime time and you hear a deer snort and your afternoon's over. So, you know, the scent control market right now is full of options. You know, so we want to have Nick on. We're going to be talking and going straight to the source to get some answers on all of the different products that are available on the market today. You know, everything from liquids to carbon suits to ozone. We're going to be discussing that with Nick today. So, Nick, glad to have you on the show. Let me ask you, you know, my first question for you is, have you ever been busted by a deer's nose?
Yes, and what a frustrating experience that is. You know, before I started working here at Scentlock, you know, being an avid hunter and getting out in the woods as much as I can, you know, I regulated my, I was a college kid, didn't have a lot of money, had one or two stands, and did the best I could there, but, you know, wasn't a real, didn't know what sort of technologies were out there, and occasionally I got busted, you know, when the wind wasn't right, I only had so many options, and gosh dang it, I hated that feeling. Luckily, after I graduated and joined Scentlock here, you know, and really got educated and going down the rabbit hole with some of the best scientists in the world about odor control and what our technologies were all about, and understanding the system and how it works, it's been slim to never ever again that I've been busted. And I honestly, at this point in my life, I don't pay attention much to the wind, and I just hunt where the spot's right at the right times, and have had great success.
That's a pretty amazing claim because, I mean, I know every year it's something that I fight with, especially here in the South where, you know, maybe in the Midwest, it's pretty easy to tell where deer are bedding as opposed to in the South. They can really bed in any direction of a food source. So it makes it tough. So let's talk a little bit about odor control. And
well, I'm going to tell you, too, is I did have a short stint in northern Alabama, and I agree with you. It's a different kind of hunting down your guys' way.
Yeah.
And I was really surprised at how different it was. So
right.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, you can play the wind correctly and still get busted because, you know, they just kind of go where they want. But,
right.
You know, I mean, the first thing is clothing. So you're trying to control odors that are on your body. And if we're talking about if we're talking about odor control clothing, Scentlock is known for that. So how exactly does your clothing work? And not only how does it work, but I know that it has to be reactivated. So how long will it last?
Great questions. And, you know, the easiest way to kind of answer that to make sure it really resonates is a lot of people know what a Brita water filter is. You drink water from a tap, and it tastes bad, and you put it through a Brita water filter, and it tastes crystal clear, clean, and that's kind of the basis of what we're doing with Scentlock clothing. It's basically a filter that is impregnated into the garment itself, and you encapsulate your whole body in it, and the air can breathe through the garment itself, but what it does is it picks up all the contaminants and odor that comes off your body. When Greg Selsman invented it, you know, he was getting busted, just like all of us were, and, you know, the thing is the idea of saying, hey, I'm just going to surround myself with a Brita water filter is pretty ingenious, especially 26 years ago.
So how long will that last?
So it's about 40 hours of field use. So, you know, down in Florida and down in the South, you know, I would say that you're going to be pretty close to that 40 hours. And then what happens is it fills up, but it's not like it's It's not like it's a switch where it just turns off. You're just going to have some capacity to where it's starting to get full.
When you say field use, do you mean open air environment?
Yeah, like so. If all of my stuff is packed into a bag, mm-hmm. and really when it's in its airtight bag, it's not picking up odors from the environment, my truck, my Jeep, or even in when I have it in my house and in the garage there.
Right.
So it's kind of in an airtight environment, so it's pretty neutral there. When you take it out of the bag, we always suggest dressing in the field. From the time you put it on to the time you take it off, we say that's about the 40 hours that you want to watch. And again, like I said, it just starts to slowly, not catch as much. The thing is 40 hours is a tremendous amount of time, especially when we start getting into the rut and temperatures start to drop. You're not having so much heat and,
right.
and perspiration and whatnot.
Well, we've talked about, clothing, and there's also odors on surfaces. So you can't, mm-hmm. You can't wrap your bow or your rifle or your backpack necessarily in scentlock clothing. So what type of liquids do you guys make, and how do they work? Are they neutralizing bacteria that causes odor?
Well, and that's the thing. There's lots of products, and this is really how every manufacturer will differ in their approach. Some sprays, and they'll have an antimicrobial agent or an antibacterial agent. So you have bacteria growing on your body. It's eating your exfoliated skin and creating byproducts, which is what you're trying to stop. So if you spray your hands or bow or anything like that, it'll kill bacteria or reduce the growth of odor-causing bacteria so that they can't reform and thusly making less odor. That's one way to approach it. Other manufacturers will do what they call is a surfactant. It's a spray that actually attacks the odor molecule itself. So the bacteria is still growing. It's still producing byproducts, but those byproducts are odor molecules. And the spray actually breaks those odor molecules apart. So that's called a surfactant. And in our sprays, we decided to do both. So in the Scentlock line of sprays, we do have odor-controlling, bacteria-controlling technologies as well as surfactants. So it's kind of a best of both worlds.
And you guys are making some products now that are not only scent control for hunters, but you're using these products at home, with athletic equipment, things like that,
oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, our odor shutdown spray, it's an aerosol, it's a super fine mist. It's great for athletic shoes, pads. We up here in the north, hockey is huge for us. So, and that stuff's about the worst stuff in the world to smell. So you can spray down with that or spray the gear with that. And again, with that surfactant on there, it not only cleans up the garment, but also keeps it smelling fresh time and time again.
Well, Nick, I know all hunters have had exposure to carbon clothing and liquids that neutralize odors. But the newest thing on the market and the thing I really want to talk to you about today is ozone. And, mm-hmm. Like we talked about earlier, in the South, we don't have the luxury of knowing where deer bedding areas are mm-hmm. most of the time. Most of the time, deer can bed anywhere. So trying to set up on a prevailing wind and manage your scent is a tough thing to do.
Right.
And the claims that I'm seeing out of ozone technology are exactly what you said at the beginning of the show, is that you're able to just pretty much forget about the wind because you're able to neutralize all of your scent that you're creating. So mm-hmm. as we go into the break and after the break, I want to talk about ozone and ask you some questions I have because I'm not so sure about it. It's something that I don't fully understand the science on. I haven't used it myself. But I'm interested, certainly. And so why don't you just start out by telling me, what is ozone? How is it formed? And does it have an odor?
Yes, on all accounts. Ozone is three oxygen molecules. And one thing that's really interesting about ozone is it doesn't like being ozone. It wants to be anything else in the world other than ozone. So there's always one of those oxygen molecules that's trying to trim off and attach itself to another odor or another molecule and trying to be with that pack, I guess, if you will. When that happens, that new molecule becomes unstable and breaks apart. So, and that's literally how ozone is going through the world, trying to seek out other things and break them apart. Ozone is naturally occurring. If you ever go outside and after a thunderstorm or after a big shower like that, what you're smelling in the air, that kind of fresh air smell, that is actually ozone, and it's because lightning actually creates ozone. It's nature's, you know, cleansing agent, you know, and so it does have a really distinct odor, and it's kind of like fresh air, but it's amazing, amazing stuff, and we've been doing years and years of research on it, and I'm excited to tell you all about the nitty-gritties of it.
Well, Nick, before the break, we got into ozone technology, and this is something that's hit the market recently for you guys, and, you know, it's something that I'm super interested in, because the claim you made before we went to break was that you do not pay any attention to the wind anymore, which is just blasphemous to me. I mean, that's the number one thing I pay attention to. So, you know, talking about ozone, we got into what ozone actually is, but how does it work? Is ozone actually destroying odor, or is it covering it up?
No, it's actually destroying the odor molecule itself. You know, the best way to kind of think about these concepts is to try to have some sort of analogy to explain it so people can kind of visualize it. And the best way we talk about odor molecules is like trains. Like if you had a train on a train track, you had model trains, you have some trains that are just two cars long, you have some that are miles long. And that's very, very similar and analogous to what odor is. It's just long chains of molecules that certain combination actually is associated with a smell. So a rose, the smell of a rose is going to be a certain train, and the smell of McDonald's is going to be another. What ozone is another type of train that runs into the big train and literally splits it apart. And so rather than having a train that's 100 cars long, you might have a train that is 75 cars long and 25 cars long, and then the oxygen molecules kind of go off in its own way. When that train gets put apart, remember I was saying a rose smells a certain way, when you break that odor chain apart, it's a unique smell in and of itself that nobody can really recognize, because when an odor molecule goes into your nose or a deer's nose or a dog's nose or anything else, it gets associated with a puzzle piece. So when you break that apart, it doesn't smell like anything you recognize, and thusly it doesn't really equate to danger in a deer's nose. So it literally is breaking odor chains apart at the molecular level.
It's an amazing technology. Is ozone toxic in any way? And the reason I ask that is I've gotten a hold of one of your Oz radial ozone generators, and hunting season just started here, so I haven't had the chance to use it in the field yet, but I have used it in my truck, and that's one of the things I've noticed is that it really will eliminate a smell over pretty much overnight. I'll turn mine on as I get out in the evening, and next morning, my truck smells fresh. So, is it toxic in any way? Would you not want to breathe it in?
So there is too much of a good thing. If you were, even though ozone is three oxygen molecules, and we all breathe air, having too much of that can cause some serious side effects. People with asthma, I mean, you don't want to just be breathing this in constantly, because it can excite those things, and your body can react to them in a negative way. However, in the amounts that we're using here, you just have to be in a fresh air. We don't tell people to use it in their car, like when they're driving. But again, when they're not there, it's perfectly fine to be used. The other thing too is the byproducts of ozone is really oxygen and broken up odor molecules. So you're not putting a poison out there in the world to be exposed to or to contaminate anything. The last thing I'll say is that ozone is all naturally occurring, and so you don't have to. There's no super regulation on those things. It's just more of just being careful of, hey, I shouldn't be breathing this stuff in nonstop. I mean, so I wouldn't recommend it in your car while you're driving.
Right. So, as I'm understanding the way a generator works, is it's going to neutralize odors as they're being emitted. But if there's something that smells bad, it's only going to work as long as it's on. Is that correct?
Yeah. So ozone does have kind of a half life, and or a lifespan. In really cold environments, ozone lasts longer. So it sits there and kind of maintains its shape, if you will, for a long period of time. As the temperature gets super, super high, so if it was 100 degrees, it may last only 20 minutes or so. Mm-hmm. So again, when you're treating your car and like that radio, you can put it on a cycle mode, let it run through its cycles, and then it automatically turns off. And by the time you get back in there a little later, it's dissipated. It's killed the odor that you were trying to get rid of anyway, but it's also not harmful for you anymore either because, again, those ozone molecules turn back to oxygen.
Well, Nick, this has been an interesting conversation, and there's a lot more I'd like to get into, and we will in the future. I'm going to take you up on your claim, and this year I'm going to try purposely hunting some places that I know is a bad wind and using the ozone generator to see how it works. So you might be getting an early morning phone call or a late evening phone call from me if it doesn't work with some anger in my voice. But I'm looking forward to giving it a shot. Thanks for being on the show. And if folks, if you want to learn more about the ozone technology and the different products that are available, you can check out all of Scentlock's products on scentlock.com. Nick, thanks again for being on the show.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime you want to talk, I'm here for you.